Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our lunchtime time of worship and praise, and I am Pastor T, and Meriwether Global Ministry just welcomes you to this time of fellowshipping and being with us on today. We're going to just share a word with you as we are getting used to the format of sharing with you. But every lunchtime, Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Central Time, we will be sharing a word from the Lord with you so that you can enjoy a power lunch in the Lord. I tell you, we have to learn to take in the Word of God so that we will be able to live, also to instruct and to give to others. So I thank you on today for just tuning in and sharing with us. As always, you know, if you're a Meriwether, we always start with a song. And so we're going to start today's show with a song. I really the Lord, I really love the Lord. You don't know what He's done for me. Gave me victory. Oh, I love Him. I love Him. I really love the Lord. I really thank You, Lord. I really thank You, Lord. You don't know what God's done for me. He gave me victory. I love Him, I love Him, I really love the Lord, I really love the the Lord. God, they don't know what You've done just for me. You gave me victory. God, I love You. I love You. The Lord. You know, I just want to share a word with you on today. But before that, we're going to share an opening prayer. The strength of the Lord, you know, is our strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Let us pray. Lord, I come to You. Lord, when I'm weak and leaning on You and looking for You to help me, God, I come to You because You renew and lift me up again. Today, God, I thank You for giving me the strength I need to get things done that You called me to do. I thank You that with Your help, I'm a force for good in this world. Today, I ask that You would give me the strength, God, of 10 people so that I may please You, God, and remain focused on those things that can make a difference to others. I pray that I will succeed in getting the job done that You've called me to do. Right now, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, we thank you for being a healer. We thank you for being a deliverer. We thank you for being our way. Most of all, we thank you for calling us friend. Use us in your service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am so excited about this lunchtime, this worship experience that we are getting to share together. What a magnificent and awesome God that we serve, that he provides us with all types of avenues where we can connect, where we can function, where we can talk, where we can share in the Word of God. I tell you, I get so excited every time I think about everything that God is doing and that he has done. He is a mighty God, and he is so worthy to be praised on today. I invite you to join with me. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts, the 18th chapter, and I will be reading for your hearing from the 1st through the 11th verse. That's Acts, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation they were tent makers, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jew and Greek. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. For now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many other Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. On today, I briefly would like to share with you, together we win. As believers, we need to know and we need to remember that together we win. As we start and reflect on this particular passage of Scripture, I am reminded of Patrick Henry and what he said. He said, "United we stand and divided we fall." You know, the slogan was, it proves that if we join together, that if we walk together, that makes us strong. But when we decide that we can't no longer do it the way that has been set up, we can no longer do it God's way, we want to do it our way, we don't want to make it about God anymore, we want to make it about ourselves, then we start to divide. And once that division comes in, what happens? We fall. The same thing in families today. Have you noticed that as long as everyone stays on the same page and everyone is willing to go on the same journey together, that together it stands. But when you decide to do your thing and the other person decides to do their thing, that's when things fall apart. The same thing in a company. It's hard to keep a company from splitting or dividing if leadership and management cannot get on the same page. On today, God is reminding us as believers, as saved constituents of Christ, that we are to what? Stand together, because the world can't come against us if we are together. No matter what's going on in the world, if you have God on your side, yes, for God you live, for God you die, and you stand on that, and you're willing to stand together with two or three or more saints that believe that together with Christ, you win. Oh, but there lies the problem. We decide within ourselves that, okay, I'm going to do it this way, and they got their thing they're doing over there at Mount Triumph, and they got their thing they're doing over here at 6th Street, and they got their thing that they're doing over here at Fellowship, and they got their thing they're doing over there, and I don't want to be a part of that. You know, they're Baptist, and they're Presbyterian, and they're Lutheran, and they're this and that. Listen to me. It's about Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Are you willing to be that light so that the world will know of a Savior that came, lived, and died just for you? He rose again from the dead so we can have eternal life. Oh, if you get that together, we win. A lot of people experience things because we won't stand together. Listen, by yourself you face danger. By yourself you face loneliness. By yourself you face insecurity. By yourself you become weak. But together as believers, joining with other believers, we find what? Encouragement, strength, safety. There's so much more. It keeps you strengthened. It helps to keep you focused so that you can do the work of the Lord. It's time out for playing church. It's time out for saying you're about one thing but really being about another. Oh, you can't stand by yourself. You need the Lord. If we follow Christ together, we can win in the life struggles that we're going to face. Because guess what? Honey, I'm writing a book now that God gave to me. God didn't promise you a rose garden. Oh, no, I beg your pardon if you think that, because he didn't promise that. But he did say, I'll be with you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you, that you can lean and depend on him. With Christ, you win. Oh, let's not hold you too long. Let's start with our first point here today. It says being together helps us conquer what? Loneliness. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. Paul was in Corinth by himself to begin with and probably found himself in need of good Christian fellowship. He was human like us, yeah, and it just so happened that God had brought a man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla to Corinth too. They were all Jews. They had been evicted from Rome, and apparently due to the rioting among the Jews that opposed Jesus, the Roman people, kind of the ones that were the Jews that were all on the same page for following Christ, they were all kind of bunched together. You know how they like to do. They put you here, they put you there. I can't even imagine living back in that time, because it was always some type of uprising and something going on against the Christians and serving God. And, you know, we have the nerve. I'm just going to put this in here. We have the nerve to not want to serve and praise God, and when nobody stops us. We'll get to church on Sunday and run around and scream and act like we're losing our mind, and Pastor, I get you, and Pastor, you right, and that was on it. And we'll jump, hop, we'll scream, we'll shout, we'll act like, oh my, and then we'll walk right out of the church and won't tell a soul about Jesus Christ. What kind of Savior are you serving? Are you really on the team? Are you just in the general vicinity and you're just making yourself a part of it just for the sake that you're in that area? Yeah, together we can win. Imagine how much work you could do in your community, in your church, where you live, where you work. Imagine what you could get done and accomplish for God. Imagine how many souls you could bring in from him just by being that example, just by being that light, where they would say, I wonder what it is about Tanya. She comes in smiling and happy every day. I wonder what it is about Tanya that causes her to want to serve God in spite of what I know that Tanya is going through. I wonder what it is today about Tanya that makes her so happy on the inside that the joy
joy just spills over on the outside. She never has bad things to say to you. She never says bad things about you. She's always talking about the goodness of Jesus and everything that God can and is doing just for you. All together we can win. Let's not stray too far from the message and the text on today. Let me refocus myself. Let me get back to the subject matter that is at hand. We see that he was in a place where he was kind of paired up with them because they all had the same trade, which were tent makers. But I tell you what, it's something about when you're in a place, even though people are supposed to be on the same page as you, and you discover that they are not, and you need to really be loved on, and you need to feel the presence of the Lord, you have to find a way to move yourself somewhere else where you can, what, hear God's word. Yeah. When Paul and Silas came and they came from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews. Understand? But guess what? He departed from there. He told them, guess what? No more. I'm not going to be bothered with y'all. I'm going on over here with these heathens, as y'all call them, the Gentiles. A lot of times Christians, I'm talking about those of us that are so sanctified and on our way to heaven anyhow. I never have understood the anyhow, but the anyhow that we love to add on to that, we are so saved and sanctified that we're not good for anything. We feel that, I got this sold up, I'm for the Lord. Well, what are you doing? Are you evangelizing? Are you reaching out to others? Or every word when somebody says something to you is hallelujah, holy, thank you, Jesus, God. But you never, ever address the person. You never, ever address the need. Listen, I can't get you to a place where I can save you, or I can't ever get you to a place that I can tell you that you need God in your life. I can't get you to a place where you will believe that on the team of God or being a part of the body of Christ that you win unless I meet whatever your need is. And I'm here to tell you on today, I'm getting sidetracked because the Holy Spirit is moving, that God is all that you need and that God can be what you need. He can meet any need that you have on today. Some of us were struggling with loneliness. We're struggling with loneliness. I love to look in the Bible and see examples that even though they were busy doing the work of the Lord, they longed for the fellowship of other saints. Something inside of you should make you long for being with other believers. I know there's times when we'll need our space, but too much space makes us feel empty and alone. God created us to love and to be loved. He didn't create us as his disciples to go out to make other disciples, for us to be alone, for us to isolate ourselves. God wants us to develop friendships with other believers. Why? So we can encourage others, so we can encourage one another, so we can strengthen one another. Oh, that brings me to my second point. Working together helps bring what? Provisions. Paul wasn't afraid of work. How many of us on today are afraid of work? Working together helps bring provision. Because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Some people view work as a curse. A part of the fall of man, is that we view work as a curse a lot of times. We don't want to do anything. However, work is a gift from God. The curse was that man would have to toil laboriously, meaning doing hard work, living by the sweat of his brow. The ground was cursed, so man would have to cultivate it and take care of it in order to grow the things that he needed. Here is what it says in Genesis 3:17-9. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. but it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until the return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Listen to me. Paul was not afraid of work. In fact, he usually worked wherever he ministered in order to be a good example. Are we being a good example on today as leaders, as those that are in charge? Are we leading when it comes down to service? Are we leading when it comes down to making sure that it's taken care of? I'm talking about follow through. Are we leading when it's about going out to evangelize and to disciple and win souls for Christ? Are we about the business of God on today? Are we realizing that together and with Jesus, you win? Are you that example? Thirdly, ministering together helps us exceed our limitations. I tell you, I really want to preach this thing, but it's too long for the time that we have allotted. But I want you to know on today that ministering together helps us exceed our limitations. If you get an opportunity, go back and read Acts, the 18th chapter. I tell you, it'll bring some joy to your spirit. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own head. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Listen to me. Sometimes you're trying to get your point across to people. Sometimes you're trying to bring them in. You won't be able to win everybody. We are to try to win everybody, but some people, their hearts will be hardened. Some of them won't want to hear it. It's just not their moment or their time or their season. And here's the great news. God will bring someone along that will touch their hearts. You do what God has assigned to you, and if they hear it and receive it, praise the Lord. If they don't, you keep moving. There are so many people that need to hear about Jesus. Some of us get caught up and think that preaching is the only form of a ministry that can be done where people can see the love of Jesus or find out and know about Christ. Well, there's several ways that you can demonstrate and show the love of Christ. You can do mission. You can do community service outreach. You can volunteer somewhere, even in your local food pantry or in your local missionary things that they're doing there at your church. You can be a part of serving within the church. People that come into the church know that the church is like a hospital. People are coming in because they are in need of something from the Lord, and they're expecting God to answer their prayer. They're expecting God to come through for them. Now, as we prepare our hearts to close on today, how are you doing? That's the question with togetherness, because I said to you, coming out of this 18th chapter of the book of Acts, that together we win, but by ourselves we likely fail. Do you need help against loneliness? Are you getting together with God's family members? Are you getting together? Or are you separating yourself? Do you need provisions in your life? Do you need to team up with others to work for what you need? Do you want to exceed the limitations you've come to expect in your life? Listen, stop trying the me approach and try Team Jesus. I guarantee you, every time we take the field, we win. It's something about knowing that no matter what you might be going through or what you might experience, that with Jesus, that makes the difference. Automatically, your team wins. Take your eyes off of man. Take your eyes off of this world and focus them on things that are eternal. Focus your eyes on God. Oh, yeah, he's a strategic planner. He has placed people all through your life that can help you, that will help you to succeed in doing his will. All you have to do is get on the team. I tell you, I was so encouraged on today as I was preparing this word to share with you with so much information. And I said, God, another time I'll get to really preach it all the way through. But I want you to know on today that we serve a Savior. And he's so sweet, I know, as the psalmist say. He can be everything that you need him to be. Have you tried him on today? I tell you, we're at lunchtime, but I'm in high praise because I know that if it had not been for God who was on my side, I don't know, believer, where I would be on today. So every time I get the opportunity, I thank God. Every time I get the opportunity, I give God a praise and a worship. Every time I get the opportunity, I shout out to God with a loud voice, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He's been that kind of God just for me. Oh, somebody, once this ends on today, you're going to catch it in your spirit that we serve a mighty God that's worthy of praise. It doesn't matter if it's lunchtime, dinner time, or breakfast. God is worthy to be praised. Together we win. I want you to remember that. On today, I want to just extend an invitation to you for salvation. During Jesus' time here on earth, he was always inviting people to become his followers. He said to those by the Sea of Galilee, follow me. He invited his listeners to come to him, to come by faith, to come for healing, to come for hope, to come for happiness. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take you 16 and 24. Perhaps today, as you were listening, you feel that Christ himself is speaking just to you. Imagine if he were in this room giving this invitation. What would you do? He really is, I want you to know, is wherever you are, he's right beside you. He really is inviting you to become his child, his follower, his disciple. I'm going to ask you to just stand where you are. Yeah, stand where you are. And I want you to say after me that God, I know that you died for my sins. I know that you, through your coming, that you washed away my sins, God, and that through you I have new life. I confess my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. You came, lived, and you died and rose again from the dead. And you sit at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. And on today, I want to be saved. I tell you, if you pray that prayer, I want you to get with the local assembly on Sunday and let that pastor know that you came up and you were saved. And then I want you to get busy doing the work of the Lord. There's only a step to Jesus. Oh, why not come and say, gladly to thee, my Savior, I give myself away. God, I give myself to you on today. That is our plea. That is what we're saying to you on today, that if you join Team Jesus, together we will win. The harvest is plentiful. I want you to know that. People are waiting to hear about our Savior. People are dying around the world to hear about our Savior. But the laborers are few. Won't you join up today? Won't you become a member of God's winning team on today? If you'd like to reach out to us, send us an email to meriwethergm@gmail.com, meriwethergm@gmail.com. My prayer is that you will be blessed, that you will receive a great blessing from the Lord on today, and that you will feel his power and his presence in your life. Be blessed.